if I can get her a room.
Love Talk Radio.
And you just told me how you feel.
Change me, oh God. Make me more.
Jada's gonna need to
like you. Change me, oh God. Wash me through.
Yeah. I haven't sat down and talked to anybody. As long as I got breath in my body, I'm gonna be here for you. We find something.
Worship you. Change me, oh God. Make me more. Change me, oh God. Watch me through and through. Just create in me a clean.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank God for this opportunity and every single opportunity that he gives us. For we say, this is the day that God has made, and we shall rejoice and be so glad on this day, because God is so good and he is so worthy to be praised. Well, welcome every single one here to Bible study. Bible study this Wednesday night. Pastor Tonique and I, you know, we're so honored to be right here in this place, you know, to be in this position, you know, to be able to bring the word of God, but not just like we do it in Sunday service. You know, there is a service, there is a order of service, but Bible study, this is that time to where we can really, you know, get into the word, you know, bring your Bible so we can get into the Bible and we can talk about certain things in the Bible to a place of understanding, to a place of clarity. You know, Bible study, that's what it's for. It's not for us to try to run through a whole chapter. It's for us to really retain. It's for us to actually get it, to get what it is, you know, that the book of life, that's what the Bible is. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about Bible study, we're talking about studying life. So we get a chance to actually study life practically. So welcome again here to Bible study. I'm Pastor Dorothy Manning, and I'm here with my beautiful wife, Apostle Tonique Manning, and yes. I'm here with every single one of you, every single one of you who have came to Bible study. You know, Apostle, I always want to say Sunday service. I just feel like I want to say Sunday service, you know, so I'm so used to being right there, you know, saying Sunday service, but, you know, this is Bible study. Okay, so last week we were in a place, where the Holy Spirit was really leading this charge. Last Wednesday, we were there. If you didn't come to Bible study last Wednesday, you know, we were talking about God is life. God is life. So I do hope that from last Wednesday all the way to now, that we got a chance to actually see God's life through our life, through the life of our loved ones, amen, through the life of our neighbors, our coworkers, you know, because you really want to look at, you know, God's life, but how can you really look at God's life? Is it just in the Bible? No, it's not just in the Bible. It is in the Bible. God's life is in the Bible. Every single thing about God's life is not in the Bible. Because, I mean, there is a place in the Bible where it says, eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. It haven't even entered into the heart of man yet. So that lets us know right there, there is life that we don't even know about. But I thank God for the life that we do know about, the life that we do know about. And this life that we're living right now, you know, we're living a life right now underneath the dispensation of grace through Jesus Christ, who have given his life so that we can obtain life. And I'm not just talking about, you know, just this life that we're living right now. You know, I'm talking about eternal life. You know, that's real life. Real life is eternal life, you know, everlasting to everlasting. You know, the word life itself, you know, we should look at it, you know what I'm saying, as a place of a continuation of living. That's life. That's alive, able to do. Amen. Yeah. So here we are, God's life. Amen. Let us go ahead on and enter into prayer before we do anything. Let's acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Let us pray. Father God, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for life. There is many times where we come to you and, you know, to give you thanks and to give you honor and to worship you. But this place right here, Father, we may, you know, have not intentionally, but we may have not giving thanks in this place here, thanks for life, you know, because this is a place to where we may not even have a full understanding of what's going on. Obviously, we don't, Father God. That's why you give us the Bible. That's why you speak your word through your people. We just want to say thank you for life. Thank you, Lord, for life. Every single time that we take a breath, we are experiencing your life right there. Every single time that we go outside, Father, and your love and your protection, you know, is there, that we're safe from dangers that we cannot see. That's your life, Father. And we just want to say thank you that you give it to us, Father. Not just give it to us any kind of way, but you give us life and you give it to us in abundance, because you promised that we will have an abundant life. And we thank you, Father. Thank you for every single body that came to Bible study this afternoon. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. We pray that you move on every single heart, that you move in every single life, every single relationship, move in every single home, move in every single thought, every single situation that we may face. Hallelujah. We just want to just say thank you, thank you, thank you, Holy Spirit. We plead your blood, Christ Jesus, over us right now. We thank you for this word that's going to go forth today. And we pray that that you go forward and we yield to you. And we're just going to say what you have for us to say. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody do say amen, amen again. Amen. Amen. God's life. What does that look like? And the floor is going to be open for some time tonight, because we got a chance to study and read and learn some things over in Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, last Wednesday. So now we're going to get a chance to actually, you know, really open up and, you know, and ask questions. And I'll start off, you know, asking questions, you know, about God's life. What do we really know about God's life? I would imagine, you know, if I was to ask that question, okay, what is God's life? You know, there will be people, you know, that know, and then there will be people that think they know, and then there will be people, you know, that really don't know. But you're still experiencing it, though. You're still experiencing God's life. So according to what we read in Proverbs, we learned that wisdom, you know, that's the principles that we live by. That is the principle that we should live by. You know, over in Proverbs, what was that, chapter 4, you know, we learned that, you know, wisdom, you know, this is that place where God has for, this is the life that God has for us, being led by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Even right now, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us right now. You know, some of us, you know, we would get excited. Some of us, you know, we may even get terrified. Some of us, you know, we may experience some type of fear, because we know that the Holy Spirit spoke to us, but that may be contrary to what we believe. But it may not be a place that we want to go, or it may be a place that I don't want to face that right now, you know, because that's more than what my mind and what my heart can be able to conjure up and be able to think. But when we're talking about God's life, we need to understand that God's life, as we know it, has been lived through the life of his son, Jesus Christ. So because of God's life, as we know it, lived through the life of his son, Jesus Christ, who has been given for us as the one who gave his life for us. So now, if we understand that, then now we understand, you know, where wisdom comes in that. Amen? I mean, are we there yet? So when I ask the question, okay, what is God's life? You know, the answer should be God's life is Jesus' life.
Okay. Yes, and just to continue to pick up here, we're past the man. We have some technical difficulties, but he'll be back on the line here shortly. Here, as we continue to talk about God's life and understanding what that looks like in the body of Christ Jesus, who God sent to give life and life in abundance. And if I can, until we have Pastor Amanda, you back on? Okay.
Amen. Now we thank God for technology. We thank God for technology. Amen. But we do realize that technology fails, you know, sometime. You know, we dropped the call, but thank God we were able to get right back in, and we'll just get right back into it. You know, the question was, we know that God's life, or it's a statement first, then a question. We know that God's life is lived, was lived as we know it through Jesus Christ. And we know that Jesus Christ was he is the sacrifice, not was, he is the sacrifice. You know, he is his life sacrificed for our lives. So because his life was sacrificed for our life because of, you know, the fall of man, you know, we understand that because of the fall of man. So now we should ask ourselves, is our life God's life? And before the call dropped, you know, we were getting somewhere that, well, our life, it should be and it could be. But we have to live our life through Jesus Christ in order for God's life to be our life. Amen. Do you agree with that, Apostle? Okay. So because we have that, so now can we honestly say that Jesus, his life, is my life? I mean, practically say that. Can we practically say Jesus' life is my life? Well, today we're going to do a little show and tell. See, it's time for, you know, the saints, and that's who we are. You know, we are followers of Christ. We are believers. We, you know, we are the righteousness of God. Can I begin? Amen. No, it's not. Amen. How about now? Okay. All right. Yes, sometimes the system fails. So since we say that we are the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ, so let's do a little show and tell. Let's do a little show and tell. Now, the first thing that we want to do is, when we do a little show and tell, is we want to run to Scripture, and we want to look at Scripture, and we want to try to prove to everybody how much we know about Scripture, how many Scriptures that we know. It's good to know Scripture. Thank God, you know, that we do know Scripture. But what good is knowing Scripture if you're not applying it to your everyday life, if you're not applying the Scripture to your life? So you can know about the life of Jesus Christ, but doesn't that necessarily mean just because you know about it, you applying it to your life? And that don't mean that, you know, that you have taken, you know, you have actually taken upon, you know, the Bible tells us, you know, it teaches us that he is the bread of life. So, you know, we eat of the bread of life, you know. So have we eaten of the bread of life? Have we drank of the cup? Have we drank of him? Have we ate of him and drank of him? Let's go over here to a scripture right quick. Let's go over here to the book of Matthew. Go over to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. I want to show you something here. Matthew chapter 5 and verses 6. Matthew chapter 5 and verses 6. I'll be reading this here from the King James Version. This is Bible study, so hopefully everyone has their Bibles. And if you are online with us, you know, we thank you so much for being online. But we would much rather, you know, for you to call in. You know, we like participation in Bible study, you know, because, I mean, that's what we're here to do. We're here to, you know, study the Bible. You know, we can't do a lot of what we're doing now on Sunday, but we can do this on, you know, Wednesday when we set aside time. But call in 845-277-9213. If you have any questions or comments, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be about the Scripture. It can be a question or a comment or something that you have about life, you know, God's life or your life or any life. you know, for that matter, you know, do call in 845-277-9213. But I'll be reading here from the book of Matthew chapter 5 from the King James Version of the Bible. This is Jesus speaking. This is where he was on a mountain, and his disciples and multitudes came to him. This was right after the place of when he was led into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan. You know, he was there 40 days and 40 nights, and he was tempted there, you know, by Satan. You know, this was right after, I mean, this was right around about this time here. And he resisted, you know, the devil. He resisted the devil because, you know, that's he understand Jesus, who's being God, understand that life, he is life. He is life. That what the devil was trying to offer him, he knew he already had that. I already have what you're trying to offer me. You know, this is where Jesus' ministry, this is where it begins here. This is where he cast out demons. He taught in the synagogues, and he cast out devils, people, you know, that were sick and they were tormented. They was possessed with devils and things like, and they were plagued. You know, this is where he healed them, and everything's right here, right in this place. But right here on Matthew chapter 5, I'm just setting it up so we would know where we're at. You know, we actually study the Bible. We study life. We need to study in content. So we would know what's going on. You have a question there, Apostle, before we get started?
I have a question. I just want to share something once you finish.
Okay, you have a question when you get finished. Okay. You're more than welcome, you know, to jump right in there. But I want to show you something about Jesus, Jesus' life, how it pertains to our life. Look here what Matthew chapter 5 and verses 6 says here. Jesus, he's speaking here. He says, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness." Okay, he said, because for they shall be filled. So how many, when I say Jesus is the bread of life, we need to understand, he said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst for righteousness. We know that righteousness, you know, is through Jesus Christ. So he said, you're blessed when you're hungry and when you're thirsty. That what that means is that when you want eternal life, when you want for Jesus to enter into your life to be your personal Lord and Savior, when you want to be delivered, just like, you know, these men and these women here, you know, we need to understand, you know, what had happened. You know, they were healed from sicknesses, and there were demons and all different type of plagues. You know, some of them, you know, were I would imagine, you know, some of them was paralyzed. You know, we see a lot of places, you know, where some had leprosy and all different type of things were going on, not just spiritually or mentally, but there were physical things that were going on. But here Jesus is saying, you know, that those that who desire, that who are hungry and who are thirsty for righteousness, he said, you are blessed. The reason why he can say that, because he's right. He is here. He is right there. You know, whatever what you're experiencing right now in your life, he's saying, because I am here, you are blessed. You are blessed. So how many are hungry for the bread of life? How many are hungry? How many are thirsty for the relationship, that love? You know when we say blood, or thirsty for that blood, you know, if you don't even know what we're talking about, you know, that can be really like, oh, are they cannibals or something like that? I'm thirsty for no blood. But we need to understand, you know, what he's talking about. What we're talking about. Go ahead, Apostle. You had a question.
Well, no, I actually just want to. Actually, let me
just so I don't echo. What I wanted to do is I wanted to share a couple of scriptures here about the lesson that's being taught on tonight as we talk about God is life and understand in the beginning. You know, in the beginning, I shared last week, if you went over that, and I'm probably sure you did, about in Genesis 2, it says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon. Hallelujah. Caused to fall upon Adam, and he slept. But the scripture that I want to go to is after that where it says, I think I made the wrong part. Sorry, y'all. Give me a moment here. And the Lord God formed man of dust. Did you read that last week?
Yeah, you read that last week.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, for those who just now on with us or listening in the future, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Because
mm-hmm.
we're talking about God is life. Who can give life other than the one that has life,
mm-hmm.
that has eternal life? And man became a living being.
Mm-hmm.
So he was once just dust of the ground, but he became a living being when God, who is life, that gives life, breath into his nostrils, life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then I wanted to share this. I hope y'all can hear me well on tonight. And I thank God for the messages going forward and continue to go forward and understand because many of us are afraid of this life and the life that's to come. Amen. But understanding we have Christ, we have eternal life, we have life in abundance, even right here on this side. Pastor Manning was saying about, you know, being hungry for righteousness. And the Bible says in John 6, verse 53, if I am correct, it says, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And then he says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, for my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drink my blood abides in me, and I am in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which come down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. So when Pastor Manning was saying this, we see it here in Scripture. Jesus himself being the bread of life, who was sent by God, who gives life, hallelujah, to give us that abundant life that we can enter into eternity. We're talking about eternal life through God, through Jesus Christ, the one that God sent. So that's all I wanted to add to that.
Amen. Amen. We thank you. I'm back on. We thank you for the scripture, because that's exactly the scripture that I was just talking about.
Yes,
and, you know, about him being, you know, the bread of life.
Yeah.
One of my good friends of mine, you know, he's a very inspiring spirit.
Oh.
You got a chance to meet him, Apostle Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
He's very inspiring spirited man. And he said one thing to me. He said, make it plain. He said, that's what the deacons used to say, you know, make it plain. And you know, he's right about that. You know, when we're talking about, you know, the bread of life and drinking, you know, saying, you know, of the cup, you know, drinking of the blood. You need to make that plain, because if somebody never heard that before, you know, there are a lot of people that eat bread, but it ain't a lot of people that drink blood, you know. So, how do we make that plain? How do we make that practical? Because we're talking about God's life, because you tell somebody that don't know, and even people, you know, that are even in Christ, you know, it's a hard time. You know, I don't have a hard time eating bread, but drinking blood. Oh, no. See, when you read that scripture, so we need to understand that what he's talking about, what he's saying is that when you eat this bread, so we need to understand that every single word that we're reading right now, when you take it in on the inside, you are literally taking it in. You're literally eating it. When you look at it, when you study it, you know, when it gets inside of your mind and it gets inside of your heart, and you begin to conjure and to meditate on it, you need to understand, you know how when you, when the flesh, let's look at it from this aspect, you know, when you're hungry, you literally have to go get something and put it in your mouth, and you literally have to chew it up, and you have to take it down. You have to be able to chew it up. You just can't just put it in your mouth and just swallow it. you have to be able to take it in pieces and be able to chew it up and part of it, so you can be able to process it. And this, what you put in your body, is food for you. And that food, it nourishes the body, doesn't it? It nourishes the body, and the body feeds off of that food that you eat. And then, you know, your mouth may get a little dry, so you have to drink something behind it. You got to drink some water behind it. And, you know, that water, it washes it on down, so it go down easy and it settles in your stomach. Mm-hmm. Well, the word of God is just like that. See, when you say you eat the bread of life and I am the bread of life, you know, we need to understand that Jesus Christ, he is the word. He is the word made and manifested in flesh, who's still being God. He didn't find it robbery to be equal to man. Very much God, but didn't find a robber to equal man. We find that over there in John chapter 1. Find out in John chapter 1. Say, in the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. You know, so we need to understand that. So we should understand that same cliche. See, you eat this Word. See, you take this Word down too. See, you just can't just get this Word and just swallow it and that's it. No, you need to be able to digest it. And then when we're talking about the cup, you know, to wash it down, the cup, it represents, you know, the water, or it represents the blood. So we need to understand what that is. See, that's your faith. That's your faith. But see, you taking it and eating it, and your faith, that's the place or where you believe in it, where you believe in God's life, where you believe in the Word. It's the one that God gives to increase. You can't tell the body to grow. The body is going to grow because it's being nourished. But that's what this Word is for. This Word is for the same thing. Jesus, you know, who is the Word? That's what he's for, to nourish you. He's for to grow you. And this is my opinion, and I can find this in the Word of God. As long as we are eating the Word, as long as we are drinking of the cup of the Lord, as long as we have faith in that Word, so we say drink his blood. When you say drink his blood, all right, so we need to understand that have faith in the very thing that you have eaten and have faith in the very word that you have taken down. So we got to make it plain. Mm-hmm. You got to have faith in it that it's going to work. You're not going to eat something that you don't believe is going to help you to get full. You ain't going to just eat something. I'm going to keep on eating, but I ain't going to get full off of it. No, you got to believe that you eat. When you eat, you got to believe that you're going to get full off of it. Okay, well, just by life. If you know God's the one that gave you the life, he's the one that's giving you the bread, you need to understand that this very life that he's giving you, this very bread that he's giving you, you'll get full, and you'll be able to live. That's what God designed it for, you to live long life. Not just right here. You know, not just right here, but the life that is promised to, the one that's to come, eternal life. He even set it up to where you already, while you're living right here, when you take upon his life, when you receive Jesus, you enter into eternity right here. Right here while you are living, you have entered into eternity. And there's a place in the Bible, an apostle, she's going to help me with this. It's called from going from glory to glory. We need to understand what that means, going from glory to glory. Heaven is made manifested right here on earth. That means God's life. We're still talking about the same thing. Manifested right here on earth. And when you take upon God's life, you right here upon earth, you're experiencing his glory right now. But you know, when God called you on back to heaven, when he called you on home, that's that going from glory to glory. So that's where that abundance, that's where that takes place. So now let's do a little show and tell. Amen. Any question, any comments before we even go on any farther? Oh, you're missing some pieces. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to put it together. Okay. So let's do a little show and tell. So I'm going to give you an example of my own life. So I wake up in the morning, and just like everybody else, and I thank God for waking up, you know. I wake up every morning, and there is a routine that I do. You know, there is a routine. And it's a routine that I started for myself. That doesn't necessarily mean that this is not how God wants me to live. You know, you can live your life how you want to live it. But, you know, I get myself up and I raise my hand up to the Lord. That's what I do. I'm not saying that that's what you have to do. But when I wake up and my eyes open up in the morning, I raise my hand up to the Lord. And I go into a place of thanking him for waking me up. That's why my hand is raised. I lift up my hands. You know, the Bible tells us over here in 2 Timothy to lift up those holy hands. This is how we worship God. We lift the holy hands. You know, I have a rooster and I have a chicken, you know, out back. You know, when they wake up in the morning, you know, they go cock-a-doodle-doo and they like to wake everybody up. That's how they give thanks. But me, I raise my hand up and I give God thanks. So that starts my day. That starts my day, me acknowledging life, thanking God for life. And then I go on, you know, to do my other routine things, that is prepare myself ready, you know, wash my face and brush my teeth and brush my hair. I don't have much hair on top of my head, but I have enough so I can brush it. So I brush my hair and put my clothes on, and I'm getting ready to go off to work. But look, while I'm preparing myself, I enter into prayer. So that's my life. That's my routine. Giving God thanks, you know, worshiping him first when I get up in the morning. And it may not look like worship. You know, it might not look like worship to you. You may worship God in another way. You know, it might not look like worship. But that's how I worship God, like that, you know, giving him thanks. And then I go and prepare myself to go outside. But while I'm getting myself together, I'm praying. And when I say praying, I'm really like not prayer as we know it. Father God, we thank you. And such. Okay, that's okay if that's how you want to do it, but that's not how I do it. You know, I really communicate with God. I mean, that's my prayer, my communion with God. Okay, Father, I'm getting myself. I thank you for waking me up, and I'm getting myself together to go outside. And I start to think about the things that I'm going to be doing while I'm outside of my home. I'm leaving my wife, you know, my children. I'm leaving out of the home that God have given unto me, and I'm about to go outside in the world. We know there's so many things out here in the world that can try to take your life away, can take, just trying to take God's life out of the body that God has given you, out of your body. So I'm going over my day. Okay, well, how am I able to, how you, what do you mean going over your day? No, it's practically what I do. I go over my day, what I'm going to do once I get to work, how I want to go throughout the day, and I want to come back home safe, just like I, you know, left home. But this acknowledgement, this what I'm doing, this prayer, you know, this me talking to God, you know, he's literally showing me the way. He's literally showing me what how my day is supposed to go. He's showing me. And the way he does that is by we're communicating. We're talking to him, and that's my routine. There's a lot of thoughts that go through my head. You know, believe it or not, and I know we all live life, there are so many things that try to come in your mind and try to come in your head when you're talking to God, like when you're literally communicating with God. I don't know how people pray, but, you know, prayer is communion with God. You talk, God talk. You listen, God listen. That's just like the same way, like, we're communicating right now. One talk, then you listen, then the other one talk, other listen. So we're going back and forth. That's a, what you call it, dialogue. That's a dialogue, right? Right, a conversation. A conversation is dialogue, you know, dialogue, you know, where talking is going back and forth. So that's my prayer. I mean, there's more than one way to pray, but that's how I pray, you know, throughout the day. And there's a point in time when I make it to work, to where, or before I make it to work, then song comes up in my heart. And, you know, I would sing because that's what I know to do. I'm just saying about my life. So if this lines up with God's life, which I know it does, you know, that's me practically living God's life through a place of thanksgiving, through a place of worship. I raise my hands and I'm acknowledging, you know, the presence of God. You know, I raise my hands up, you know, giving him thanks. That's that place of worship. Then there's a place of prayer, you know, me communicating with him about my day and things that are going on in my day. Then that place of where I sing, that's that place to, you know, where I can become, you know, content. You know, that's where rest comes in, that where I'm not worried about anything. That's also that place where I get to block. When I sing, I get to block out all of the dirty thoughts and the evilness that Satan likes to speak. He likes to put in your mind. You know, you may have had a some controversy between a friend, a loved one, or something, but I sing because that pushes all that stuff out. I call it the filth or the clutter. You know, they try to clutter my mind up, and it allows me to be able to be focused in on me, that one-on-one, me and God, even though I'm in the presence of a people, me and one-on-one. And I'm not saying it's not always that easy, because you're going to be in the presence of people, and everybody is not harmonizing with the Holy Ghost or not talking to God. So you have to be in the presence of coworkers. You have to be in the presence of people, you know, that have spirits, you know, all different kind of spirits, angry spirits, got an attitude, you know, a prideful spirit, or whatever kind of spirit. You have to be in the presence. But you need to understand this. Because you have God's life and you have his word, you have his promise, and you have Jesus Christ, so you need to know what to do when you experience life. We make life hard when we make a decision not to rely on God's life, or not to rely on what he is saying or the word. Does that make sense? We talk about God's life. I want to show you that in scripture. Apostle, you have anything? You have anything? I want to show you that in scripture, since this is Bible study. You know, the Bible study, we need to have some show and tell. So now for me to say that, I need to show you that. Okay? Where did I say? I said worship. I mean, that place of worship. I'm going to show you how important worship is. Romans chapter, help me out, Apostle. Romans chapter 12 and 1. Romans chapter 12 and 1. I want to read this. We're still in the King James Version of the Bible, and I want to show you this here. Now, we're talking about God's life for those who are just now tuning in, or those who have joined in. We're talking about God's life. This is where we had started, you know, a lesson of study last Wednesday. We're talking about God's life, you know, God's life being Jesus' life, and Jesus' life being our life. So we know that our life being the life of Jesus, that means that there was a converting, or there was an adopting. There was a place of us giving our lives as we used to live it, as we know it, being crucified to flesh, being born again, being baptized by water, being baptized in the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, we're filled with God. We're full of him. And then that place of where we battle it all the time, like in our mind. So this is that place where we're renewing. And I'm talking about the life that you used to live. See, this is that place where you have to renew it. So when I say, you know, my routine, you know, and that's my routine, I want to show you this right here in scripture. Romans chapter 12 and 1. Apostle Paul, he's attributed to this book over here in Romans. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Look at there. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Okay, anybody want to tell me how you do that? How you do that? He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. He said that that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Don't you know that word service? You know, what he's talking about is worship. He's talking about worship. That word service, you know, it's translating to that word worship, because how can your body be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God? Well, I'm not saying those things that I said, you know, that's just how you do it. But this is what I do know. I do know that if you're going to be present your body as a living sacrifice, we know that place of holy, and it says holy, acceptable unto God, then we know that that's going to require what he have given unto you. See, when you receive the Holy Spirit, don't you know that the Holy Spirit, you know, that you were filled with it, that means you were filled with the fruits of what God have given you. So that means that, you know, first it was love. So we worship God when we're loving, not loving God, we worship God when we're loving one another. So can you be a living sacrifice? I mean, can you be living right now and loving? Of course you can. Of course you can. How about when you worship God in that place of, when it says holy, acceptable unto him, you worship God, or your service, you worship a reasonable service, that means that, okay, how about joy? How about joy? See, we need to know this right here, because if we don't understand this here, that means that while you're living, you're worshiping God through the Holy Spirit, which is in you and is producing these fruits. So it's producing these gifts. This is what you give. The whole God give it, and this is what you are to give, and this is your service. But that battle is going to be right there in that place of our mind of, if we're going to make a decision, if we're going to do this or not. Holy meaning to be set apart, not common, not, don't do like everybody else. You know, you're holy, you're set apart. That means that holy, okay, we need to, we read one thing, a definition of holy, and holy means weird, according to a definition that we read over here in the dictionary. And that word weird means uncommon, or not like everybody else. That means set apart. So when we're talking about, and we're not talking about, you know, this is not a Bible study about the fruits of the Spirit, but this is Bible study. So we need to understand about God's life. And God's life, we know that it is Jesus' life. And Jesus' life, when you accepted him into your life, then you know that you accepted what he has given unto you. Amen? Amen. Peace, joy, holiness, forgiveness, gentleness and kindness and patience. This is that reasonable. So this is a living sacrifice. You have sacrificed, Apostle, your will. It's not your will anymore. I want to do this, or I don't want to do that, or I don't want to love today, or I don't want to be holy. I don't want to be sanctified today. You know, that don't mean that you're not. That means that you are making a decision, you know, not to, you know, not to allow your body, or not to allow yourself, or not to allow your life to be a living example of who he is, of God's life. Oh, I know that right there. That really looked at it. See, this is the word, you know. This is God's word. Let's read 2 and see what it says. Not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, now you can't say, okay, well, Darcy, you just said that because you just wanted to try to make that relevant. Okay, well, let's read that. Let's read it again. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you may present your bodies a living sacrifice. How? Holy. How else? Acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And look what it says after that. Not being conformed to this world, but being transformed in your mind by the renewing of your mind. Okay? It says that you may prove what that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there it is right there. The will of God for your life. See, we're still talking about God's life. It's God's will, not just for you to be saved or born again, but for you to flourish in his life while you are living right here. And that's why I say, you know, the fruits of the Spirit, you know, when the renewal of your mind, because this is that place right here to where you're going to make a decision right here to where you're going to be godly or whether you're going to be selfish. I'm going to be holy or I'm going to be selfish. And that's the best way to put it. Because if I say holy or unholy, and then, you know, you might try to dissect me on that. Okay, well, if you got Christ, then how could you be unholy? Or if you're born again, then how can you say that you're not born again? No, that's not what I said. If I say holy or selfish, whether you're going to be loving or you're going to be selfish. Mm-hmm. Because it's going to go back to how you think. It's going to go back to what's in your heart and what's in your mind. This is the will of God for you. You have a question, Apostle?
I want to say something.
Go ahead.
I want to add what you said.
Go ahead.
I just want to add to what you're saying here before we wrap up and comment. Just add what you're saying, being a living sacrifice and the will of God for your life and binding your will to the will of God and what that looks like. So we go down to Romans, still in the same chapter, but in 9, it gives you how we should behave as Christians. The Bible said, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly, affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And I want to add that to what you were already saying. Essentially, when you read this scripture, for me, it makes me raise my hands up. It makes me rejoice. It makes me worship. It makes me praise, you know, the God that's in me, you know, because the Bible says if you abide in me, I abide in you. And having that moment of just praise and worship, like you say, when you get up in the morning, how you throw your hands up, and I can witness to that because he does. Throw his hands up in the morning, and sometimes I raise back because I realize he does this often that he's praising God, and I may get a little wave in there. So, you know, praise God, just thinking I'm here. And Lord, use me, I surrender. And I look at that as surrendering this day over to God, committing to the work of God and God's will. Amen. That's what I want to say. All I want to say.
Amen. Amen. I think you actually got a chance to go through the scriptures there for me. We were already there.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's exactly right, you know. God's life, you know, it will. I seen you just right now while you were reading these scriptures. I seen there was something that we didn't even, I didn't even get to this part yet, but you became emotional just then. And I didn't even got to that part, you know, but when I'm talking about, you know, God's life, we need to understand that, you know, the renewing of the mind, you have to understand that when you are experiencing things in your mind and you're experiencing things in your heart, you're going to go in a direction. So we're talking about God's life. So obviously God's life is a direction. And that's a path or where you choose. You can choose to go in these directions. You can choose to love or not. You can choose, you know, to be consistently the same. That's what that word patience in there, you know, or long suffering. You need to understand that, you know, what that is. That's being the same about what God said. Not your own patience, but you choose that, you know. But I saw you become emotional right then, and it was a godly emotion. It was a good emotion because God's word was being stirred up on the inside of you. My wife, I can tell you this right here. She know the word very well. Well, let me say this here. She know God's word very well. And, I'm not just going to say from time to time, but often when she hear the word, she gets stirred up and she gets, you know, godly emotions. She gets excited, you know, and, if we would have had about 20 more minutes, I believe she would have took over less. But that's all right. That's all right. Because she's experiencing life. That's right. This is Bible study. She's experiencing life. And, I thank God for you, you know. I thank God for you, you know, because we need people like you, you know, in our lives or in our presence. Because if you're so full of the Word of God, and obviously you are full of the Word of God, when I'm experiencing life, that means at some point in time in my life, because I'm in your presence, I have to realize that you are the Word of God, or the bread of life is on the inside of you, and it gets stirred up and it's going to come out. I'm going to experience God's life right there, even if I have not been born again. So I thank you, you know, for that godly emotion like that. We know that Satan has some ungodly emotions, you know, when we become negative and murmuring and complaining and we start thinking in a place of fear and things like that. I'm going to give a little example before we even get up out of here. Me and my wife was talking about some things there, and there were some emotions that had came up in me. And now that we're in Bible study, you know, I have to really put it to the test. Since this is a time of studying the Bible and some show and tell, it's time to some proof. I still hold fast to what I say, but that don't necessarily mean that all of my emotions were godly emotions. They could have been, some of those emotions could have been out of a place of fear. She witnessed it. Some of the emotion, her too, you know. Some of these emotions could be out of a place of fear. But see, this is when you need to know what to do when something comes up in your mind, or when a problem arrives, or when trials or tribulations, you know, show up, the first thing that you would do. What are you going to do when trials and tribulations show up in your life? When you got a bad report from the doctor, what's going to be your bodily sacrifice? What are you going to do? Or when something happens to your wife, or happens to your husband, and you don't know anything about it, and they, you know, they may end up in the hospital. You don't even know they're in the hospital. What are you going to do? You go in that place of fear, or you're going to go in that place of acknowledging God's presence and God inside of every single thing? Or when something happens to one of your children or your child or something, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What's going to be your first thought? What's going to be your last thought? What's going to be your movement? What direction are you going to go in? Are you going to acknowledge God's presence? Are you going to acknowledge God's life? How do we do that? Well, we already told you how to do that. But this is right here, that place to where we're experiencing God's life, and this is that place to where we're going to live in that place of abundance in Jesus Christ, putting it all in his hand and asking him for the answer. Or do we just going to do what we just know to do? We just going to, this what mama did, this what daddy did, and this how this right here did, and this what I did, and this what I'm going to do. But that don't necessarily mean that is the right thing. Best is if I can look at mom and daddy and look at you and see a whole lot of places that you went that you shouldn't even ever went. Amen. We thank God, you know, for the lesson tonight. You know, let us pray. We're gonna pray over this right here, word God's life. Father God, we thank you, you know, for your presence. We thank you for your wisdom. We thank you, Father God, for giving us, you know, that opportunity to obtain, you know, your wisdom. We realize that life, you have given it unto us, Father. And we thank you, Father God, you know, for your life. Your word says over here that you put it in our mouths. You put it up to us how we're going to experience this life that we're living. That don't mean that you haven't already made the way. That don't mean that you have not laid out the path, because you have laid out the path. You did it through Jesus Christ. But it's up to us if we're going to go in the path that Jesus Christ have already laid out for us, or are we going to go in another way. For your word says, broad is the way that leads unto destruction. But you said straight, you said that way. That's the way right there that you have for us. And narrow, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. And we thank you, Father God, that you have set it out straight. You didn't say that it was going to be easy, but you did lay it out so we depend on Jesus. And if we start to look at it and we start to think about it, like Apostle Paul wrote over here, not being conformed to this world and the thing that's in this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Hallelujah. We thank you, thank you, thank you, that you transform our minds when we start to rely on the Holy Spirit. You transfer our emotions when we start to rely on the Holy Spirit. You transfer our steps, Father God, when we go in the wrong way, and you put us back on the right way when you tell us to turn to Jesus. Even when we wake up in the morning, Father God, and we pray, hallelujah, we begin to ask for things and begin to think about things, and maybe we even go into a place of worry and wondering and fearing about this, and you say, go to Jesus, hallelujah. Because when you go to Jesus, he done already showed you the way. And we thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus, that you are that way. We plead your blood, Christ Jesus, over every single mind that had a inkling in it to receive, and every single heart that received this word today, not my word, but God's word. And we pray, Father God, that right now that it don't just come right, that we don't just let it go and start going in another way right when we leave Bible study, that we stay right here in your presence. And we thank you, thank you, thank you that you made it all possible. You're able, 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 because you're able, Father God, and we are in you, hallelujah, because we're in Jesus, we're able. And we just want to say thank you. We plead your blood, Christ Jesus, over us right now and over all that is concerning us, our household, our relationship, our children, our neighborhoods, our finances, every single thing that's concerning, especially our thoughts. Especially our words, Father God. We plead your blood over it right now. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody in the church do say amen. Well, God bless you. May God keep you. God's life is for you. That's God's will. We read that in Romans chapter 12. That is the will of God for you. His life, that's the will of God for you. Promise. That we're going to try. You know, that's it. You know, you can't, but be honest now. Be honest and say that you really are trying to look at it like God. Try Jesus. So when you start to experience life, you know, let the first thing that you do is go to God about it. Follow what you say about it. Because every single thing that God says about it, he's going to point you to Jesus. And everything that Jesus said about it, he's going to point to the word. Now, it's up to you to go get inside of the word so you can know what God say, what Jesus say, and you can know what to do, because the Holy Spirit is going to show you. Amen. That's my challenge. That's my challenge to every single one that came to Bible study tonight, for me, for Apostle, for every single one of you as well. Apostle Tawanik and I, we love you so much. We can never love you more than God loves you. We can never. But we just going to love on you like he told us how to love you. We're going to stay in this word. We're going to stay in the Bible. We're going to keep on eating of the bread. And when we eat, we're going to give you, we're going to give what God gives to us. We're going to give you so you can eat. And if God gives you something, you know, eat it. You eat it first. God give you a revelation of the word, what he's saying. You eat it. And then come back and tell me what it tastes like and give me some of it. That's what we're here for. God bless you. May God keep you. Remember, Satan has already been defeated, and Jesus Christ is Lord. Do we need benediction before we go? We can do benediction? Okay. Let's do benediction. Now may the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good word to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And everybody do say amen and amen again. God bless you. May God keep you. Have yourself a good night. If it's nighttime where you are, or if it's morning time, have yourself a good morning, but do it all in the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, hold me last, ever to rejoice.
I want to hear him say,
give it back to you. You gave me my husband, you know I love him, and now I'll give him back so you know I'm all in. Lord, take my children, my family. I want you to know that you have me. I need to know that you're happy. Yeah, when I finally stop breathing, yeah. King on the throne. Hold up, wait a minute. Gold streets, gold mansion. Just because I look gone with a passion. Can't get you when it gets, but if you're asking, he'll give you that. How can you imagine living without all his grace? Sometimes I still get amazed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pray for all of my days. Until I finally stop breathing, yeah.